If you look at those words, P-A, that word P-A-S-S, let's start with the P and we'll get on to the other letters later. But in the scriptures we find that God has given us a promise. Not just one promise, lots of promises. Way back at the beginning of Genesis, I think it's Genesis chapter 12, we see how God made promises to Abraham that he would bless Abraham with giving him a son and a family. And not only would he bless his family, but the whole world would be blessed. There would be a Saviour who would come. This is a later promise, a Saviour. He would be a bright light. He would bring relief from the shadow of death. He would come as a baby, although not everybody connected these promises together, but there's the promise of a baby, of a birth. This child would be the key to fulfilling God's promise. He would be the government. He would be the responsible one. He would be the guide. He would be God. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's also a reference to Bethlehem. Thank you, Emily.
From Isaiah 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness, from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And then from Micah 5. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times.
So God promised, and God arrived. Part of the pass. It was quite a wait for the coming of that baby. Babies generally are a bit of a wait. It's a long time for men to wait. And for mothers. But the promise was fulfilled and the baby Jesus arrived. And as the scripture says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. That this Jesus was the image of the invisible God. And now God is so close to everyone, God having arrived.
From Luke 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
So God's pass. God promised, and in Christ God arrived. And then God's Son returned to glory. Jesus was not the sort of person that people expected. They couldn't see that Jesus was God's promised one. There was no pomp, no ceremony, no palace. Jesus was humble, riding on a donkey. Jesus demonstrating a very different kind of power. The real power of God. God is love. God in Christ submitting to an unjust death, and in doing so, overcoming the power of death and sin, and so raised to new life, telling us that this is who God is, God in his Son, Jesus Christ, and that God suffered in Christ for us. So the Son returns to glory where he had always existed. preparing a place for us, saying before he went, I am going to prepare a place for you, and where I am, there you will be also.
Hebrews 1. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven.
So God promised, and God arrived, and God's Son returned to glory, and then the Holy Spirit was sent. Jesus promised that he would send the Holy Spirit. The promise was fulfilled, and he came. Jesus had explained that he would be killed. He explained to the disciples that he would rise again and that he would send help, help for us to live the Christian life. Jesus and God the Father sent the Spirit to help us be Christian, to help us do Jesus' work of loving and sharing the good news. Think of 2 weeks ago, was it? We had Blue Bradley here saying that we are the church. It's not a building. We are the church, and we represent the Lord through the power of his Holy Spirit, his Spirit who's so real to us, his Spirit who guides and inspires and helps us to believe and to forgive and to love and to hope and to trust.
Acts 2. When the day of the Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit.
Our God has an open home. And we can say, hooray, we've been given a pass. A pass that God wants us to pick up and to continue to thank him for. What does it say in John chapter 1? To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Praise his glorious name. In a moment we're going to move to receive communion, but before that we sing the song that will lead us, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.